If you have your Bibles, let's open them, please, just for a moment to Psalm 39. Tonight's topic will be music. This will be the last lesson or message we'll give on this subject. And we'll be covering a broad bit and maybe even some things you've not thought about. What are the tests of good music? What is acceptable to God? Now, there's two types of people listening tonight online or in person. And that's this. There's those who say, don't mess with my music. It's no one's business what I listen to. And then there's those who say, tenderheartedly, Lord, what type of music pleases you? What would you want my ears to be hearing on a regular basis? And so that's the one you want to be. So Psalm chapter number 39, let's look at this quickly. We're going to be buzzing through here. So if you can't turn to the passage quick enough, I hope you'll at least jot down a note. And we've got several blanks here. It looks like a lot of material, but there's not a whole lot of blanks to fill out. So I hope you'll get that. Anybody need an answer sheet real quick? Not an answer sheet, but I mean a fill in the answer sheet. I need the answers. Can I look on your paper? Okay. Can we get one passed down here real quick, ushers? Tim, if you can get one, just get one down here. Anybody else need one? All right, good. Yeah, over here too. Couple in the front. Psalm chapter number 39. Let's look at it if you would, please. And the Bible says in Psalm 39 in verse number 3, David says, my heart was hot within me. In other words, his heart maybe it was cold, maybe it was lukewarm, but something caused it to be hot. What was it? While I was musing, the fire burned. That word muse means thinking. We think of the word amusement park. Ah means no or none. None musing. No thinking. You get on the ride, it takes off. Amuse. And so David says, while I was thinking, the fire burned. And that's why we go to a conference. We are at a marriage seminar. We are at a teen camp, a teen conference. And the sermon or the music gets us thinking. And pretty soon we say, we even used words like, man, I'm back on fire. No, really, you're back thinking. Because when you're back thinking, that fire starts warming up. When a wife is thinking about her husband and a husband starts thinking about his wife and young people start thinking about the work and the love their parents have for them, the heart warms up. And so you could say, while I was thinking, the fire burned. In Philippians 4:8, you don't have to turn there, I will quickly, but in the New Testament, Paul is talking about how not to crack up. That is the theme of Philippians, having joy and having a mind that pleases the Lord. But notice what he says here. God is so interested in what we think. And he says in Philippians 4:8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, and notice the command, think on these things. So God is even telling us, here's what I want you to think about. So he owns us. He bought us with his blood. Now he's telling us, here's the topics I want you to fill your mind with. Kind of interesting. David says, what I think about causes my heart to burn. Philippians, God says, let me tell you what to think about. In Isaiah, he says, my thoughts are not as your thoughts. My ways are not as your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Someone says, you're not what you think you are, but what you think you are. We become what we think. We think angry thoughts and we become an angry person. We think lustful thoughts, we become a lustful person. We think selfish and depressing thoughts, we become a depressed person. So thinking, muse, the root word to music, muse. Music is all about thinking. It's not all about notes. It's what it causes us to be thinking. Amen. So music has such a huge impact on our life. I was looking for a car. Someone I know is trying to purchase a car, and it's not me. And one of the advertisements, it says, wait till you hear the sound system in this car. You know, I've seen some cars, there was more money in the sound than there was in the engine. And you've seen them pull up and the whole thing is moving. Now your car is moving. So it must be important to put that much money into the sound. Some houses have surround sound in their entertainment room. Sound is something. Music is important. So important. So quickly here on the notes. Well, let's pray. Father, bless this brief Bible study in Jesus' name. Amen. Think of that song for a moment. When I think of how he came. Notice the words, when I think. So far from glory. That's what music's about. We're to be thinking of the words. That's why we read the scripture, to be thinking of the scriptures. So music, what is it? Here's the blank. It's the bridge. It's the bridge. Most famous bridge outside of the Mississippi Bridge in Louisiana is the Sunshine Bridge. And that was the famous bridge that Jimmy Davis, the governor, had built. He's the one that wrote that song, "You Are My Sunshine, My Only Sunshine." And it cost us millions of dollars to build that bridge. And so it wasn't sunshiny when we did that. But music is the bridge that leads you closer to God or closer to the world. That is truly it is not neutral.
Amen.
It is not.
Amen.
It is the key to victory. Notice, please, for a moment, in 2 Chronicles 20. 2 Chronicles 20. And then we'll start giving you something just brand new. 2 Chronicles 20. God is leading his nation into a battle. And just a famous, famous passage. They're outnumbered. God says, hold it. I'm going to give you the victory. Verse number 21. 2 Chronicles 20. 21. When he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, Mount Seir. And it talks about God destroying the enemies. So they went into battle. He says, hold it. You don't even have to pull out your swords. I want the front line just to sing. And when they sang, God says, I'm going to give you the victory. It always gives the victory. When someone has the right music filling their mind, it fills their thoughts, and it is victory and not defeat in their spirit. And that's the pattern right here. They hear something brand new quickly. In the Old Testament, word spread to the, and the blank is here, the heathen about Israel's music. You see, in the Old Testament, you never see the tribes of Israel going door to door soul winning. You know, you don't see that. You don't see them leading others to Christ. The nation of Israel had taught the Messiah is coming. We have the true and the living God. We have his laws, his book. It's given us a joy. But notice what the heathen said, and I'm hurrying, Psalm chapter 137, and this is a just a great little verse. And it says in verse number 3, it's talking about when they were captive. Psalm 137, 3, for there they that carried us away captive required of us a song. And they that wanted wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. So these heathen people said to Israel, they said, sing us one of your songs. We've heard about your music. Sing us one of those songs. So the music of God's people arrested the attention of the heathen. Kind of an interesting thing.
Amen.
Music was played when the prodigal son came home. We won't look at the scripture, but if you remember the passage, the elder brother came home. His brother had wasted his life in sin, and He comes home and begs forgiveness from the father. They kill the fatted calf. And it says when he came home, he heard the music and the dancing. And he said, "What's this music?" And the father said, "Thy brother who was lost has come home." So there was music over the prodigal coming home.
Amen.
So music in Scripture, it was a happy thing.
Amen. Amen.
A happy thing.
Amen.
Then we also see in Acts chapter 16, and I'll read it unless you want to turn to it quickly. Paul and Silas are in prison, but it's Acts 16. And notice what type of music they needed. And they brought up, they're in prison, they're bleeding, unsure if they're going to be killed for their faith. Acts 16, 25, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. So I love this little thought here. Paul and Silas is singing focused on God, not their problems.
Amen.
The world's music focuses on their problems. I still remember my dad used to love Hank Williams. And not Hank Williams Jr., Hank Williams, the original. He was in the nightclub, my daddy was, when Hank sang Kalijah. Some of you old timers will remember, Kalijah! And then he fell over and fainted drunk. My dad had keys to his car and drove him back to his house. But in the olden days, the world's music talks about their problems, their hurts, their pain. Good music praises God.
Amen.
It praises His character, His name, what He's done, His love, His salvation. It's focused on Him. When our music's focused on us, it's sad because we're sad. And then let's keep going here. This little topic, perversion of music. That when we think of pervert, we think someone who's messed up in the mind. But the word perverse simply means, here's the definition, to change from its intended use. Pervert. For instance, tonight if we pulled all the pews out, we brought in a rock group, we had a dance. That would be a perverted use of this building. This building is to be used for worship, for preaching, for church. And so Satan would never let something as big as music cease to be changed. So his goal is to change it from its intended use. Anything the devil touches, he perverts. He takes grape juice and says, "Let's ferment that." He takes poppy seed. Well, kids don't write this down. But anyway, he takes some plants and perverts it. And pretty soon it's a drug that messes with people and stuff you're supposed to eat. Now you're inhaling it and so forth. Lucifer in Ezekiel 14, I'm not going to read it, but there it is for you. It's half a chapter. And God talks about Lucifer, the son of the morning, the top angel in heaven. He says, as a part of you were tabrets. So somehow in his creation, a part of his body was musical. You can read the passage. It talks about thy pipes, like a flute or a clarinet, perhaps, or some type of woodwind. Your tabrets, strings. Somehow, maybe as he spoke, music came out of him. And so, if that was such a big part of who Satan was or Lucifer was, you bet he's going to use it.
That's right.
He's going to use that.
Amen.
Now, quickly, a little history here. Israel brought Egypt's music with them into the wilderness. They had grown up in Egypt. So, when Moses parted the Red Sea, God did the miracle. Now they're into the wilderness. They came straight out of Egypt. Guess what they had heard their whole life? Egyptian music. Idol worship and music. And in Exodus 32, we read some of it last week. Moses is getting the Ten Commandments. And Joshua hears something. He says, "I hear noise." Verse 17. I hear shouting. He said, it sounds like there's a war going on. Moses said, no, it's the voice of them that shout from mastery. It's a voice. It's a noise. No, they're singing. Now they're dancing. So it was all this confusion. It sounded like war, shouting, people being stabbed, people screaming, much like today's music. Israel brought that Egyptian music out. It contained several items. Here's the blanks. Violent sounds. What else did it contain? It contained drunkenness. We find that later in the passage. Nakedness and immorality. This is from a secular book. It says, there were the customary ritual dances performed to loud, thrashing music. The great gods were themselves closely identified with this manic noise, which often used swords and metal shields as musical instruments. The racket and the accompanying pyrotechnics were intended to instill a sense of terror or awe, preparing to initiate for personal contact with the gods. So it was very, very noisy. Some of these were Bacchus festivals from Egypt, then to Rome. And this is just a little history. I'm not going to bore you with paragraph after paragraph. But what they would do, as Rome took over, they went from once a month festivals to every week festivals. And they would reenact a type of a drama, reenacting one of their gods. And during the drama, there would be immorality, drunkenness, there would be violence, there would be no bars withheld, all sorts of decadence. And then the people in the audience were encouraged to come up and participate. These things were even brought to America years later, especially in the city of New Orleans, where they began to have a parade that was called the Decadence Parade. By the way, it's interesting. The Decadence Parade was the night before Hurricane Katrina hit New Orleans.
Right.
Kind of interesting, huh? Where part of the parade is called the Voodoo Parade.
Whoa.
All these rituals, drunkenness, the drugs, different gods, paganism all brought in, much like a Woodstock, much like a Bottle Rock, much like a, and we could go on and on. So maybe we'll talk some about that later. But here it is. Here's the next blanks. America embraced this false worship. And it was revealed in the old saying, drugs, sex, and rock and roll. That was just straight out of the heathen dramas and the heathen worship that was always accompanied with music. It all went hand in hand. Other blanks, it was revealed, I've already said it, Mardi Gras, parades, voodoo, rock concerts, the Haight-Ashbury, the Woodstock, etc. Let me give you three quotes quickly of some of our musicians. John Lennon, in my day, I still remember when he said it, we are now more famous than Jesus Christ. I remember in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, when the local radio station says, and yes, John Lennon said that, we're having a public bonfire right now at Ryan Airport. Bring all your Beatle records, all your Beatle posters. We're burning them publicly here in Baton Rouge, a big bonfire. We're protesting what John Lennon said. We've come a long way.
Yes, sir.
No one would protest what anybody would say now. Rod Stewart said, I thought all rock stars had illegitimate children. Blondie, there's her quote right there. You can see that later. So what is music? It is worship. In Romans 1, I'll just quote quickly for sake of time, who worship and serve the creature more than the creator. And as the sins go downhill in a nation, that quote is used. So here it is. Satan is not real interested in us worshiping him. As long as we worship anything and anyone besides him. So what is modern day worship? If it's not the true worship, it is self-glorification. That's the modern music. It's glorifying these stars. It is, scripture says, we've piped unto you, but you didn't dance. You ever go to a professional ball game about the fifth inning? They always play that same song, we will, we. And just soon as they start playing it, people stand up. And you'll see them dancing. And then the music goes off and they sit back down. Kind of interesting. We have piped unto you. Hey, it's time to dance. Okay, now we're done. We went on a cruise years ago. We had some of the new converts. Some of you remember this from the Oakland church. And one of the nights, all the chefs and the waiters did some type of a lion dance or something around the room. And they were playing some type of popular song. They were dancing. They said, come on, come on. And of course, all of us are sitting there like this. Some of the new converts from Oakland, I could still name, not going to name them, Jesus. And anyway, he jumps up, man. He is having a great time. You know, we're just got, but they played the music. It's time to dance. So no matter what type of music the world has to offer, it's, hey, this is the type that you get to listen to now. And then 10 years from now, here's what we're all listening to now. They've just dictated it. And then on the back sheet, we have to hurry here. I'm going somewhere with this. In Daniel 3, they said, when all the instruments play, you bow down and worship. You remember that? When the music plays, you worship. Someone was in a restaurant. They said the waiter dropped a tray of dishes, broke everyone. 10 people jumped up and started dancing. What are the themes of the modern music today? And you say, Pastor, what do you mean modern? You just name it. If it's not extreme conservative gospel, you name it, whether it's rock, acid rock, any form of that, R&B, country, you name it. Here's mostly the themes. Immorality. Or you could say cheating. Violence. Definitely anti-America. Anti-God. Filled with cursing and filth. And then if not that, the performers and their addictions and their lifestyles. And we're not saying you may not hear a good song every once in a while. Someone says, well, not everything on the radio is filth. And maybe it's not. But one time I was in the restroom and I accidentally dropped a quarter in the toilet. I didn't pick it up. You may see a quarter in the toilet every once in a while, but it's probably not worth picking up.
Amen.
Quickly. All right, so let's shift here for about 10, 12, 14 minutes. Well, Pastor, I don't even listen to any of that kind of stuff. I mean, I'm saved. I mean, it's all Christian. So what about contemporary Christian music?
Come on now. Amen.
Well, let me quote Brother Johnson. It's con and it's temporary. Okay. That's Brother Johnson. If you don't like that, I'll give you his address. I have a cell phone. And you can call him and tell him what you think. Several bullet points here quickly. It is their responsibility to prove it pleases God. Okay, this is your music. Okay, you prove to me biblically this sound, these words, this association pleases him. Next, situation ethics is doing whatever it takes to get a desired result. You ever hear this? But the teens love it. Well, the teens love not going to school. The teens love drinking soda all day. You know, it never has anything to do with if a certain group loves something or not.
Amen.
Mass murderers love mass murdering. Squatters love breaking into people's houses. Because someone loves something does not make it right. Here's one. Is our church music to attract the worldly crowd? But it attracts the crowds. You know, last time Michael Jackson came to California, he attracted a crowd. A lot of people attract crowds. Jesus never tried to attract a crowd. He would just raise someone from the dead and people would come. He would change someone's lives and the crowds would come. We've seen people come because someone got saved and changed. That's where the crowds come from. It is not our goal to attract the crowd. Our goal is to preach the word, love people, and God has to build his church. Amen. Quickly here. Here's an article I had in my office. It says something like this. It says, rock along. Today's music. Today's words. But the truth that the young people need. You never see that in Scripture. In Genesis, God divided the dark from the light. He did not merge the dark with the night. Next, we see in 1 Samuel 16, you can look at this later, David's music, when he played, he was playing a H-A-R-P, harp. As he played it, it refreshed the king. You cannot have a driving beat with the harp. Next time someone plays the harp, see how many people's dancing and break dancing. I mean, you can't. It's a harp. Certain instruments, they refresh.
Amen.
So David was refreshing. Jesus never, here's your thought here. You may want to jot this down. Jesus never accepted praise from demons. Throughout the gospel, you say, where are you going from that? Well, what if it's the world's music, but it's got Christian words? Doesn't that praise the Lord? No. There were demons coming out of people in the New Testament. And Jesus would say, come out. And they'd say, we know who thou art. Thou art the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. And he said, hush. He shut them up. He didn't let them praise him. Why? God would not receive the praise of demons.
Amen.
Kind of interesting.
Amen.
I need someone who knows how to rap. Let me see here. Probably one of the interns. Tim, you know how to do that a little bit? Why don't you come up? Help me. Okay, we'll have Tim do a little rap here. And hang on just for a second here. So we got to make this a modern church. Okay, so here we go. And so we'll change things. It doesn't take but about 40 days. And so we'll get him to rap a little bit. Pastor grow his hair out a little bit here. So look at that. Used to it would have been brown, but now I need a gray ponytail. Okay, you kind of get it started. You ready? All right, here we go. Now we're the contemporary Hopewell. Here we are. Hang on, he's got to get you. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Hey, stop. Good job. You're very worldly. Good job. Good job. Good job. Probably a little ridiculous, but if you've watched some of those people on television, that is not a far reach. It's like, are you kidding me? Is this like a Kiss wannabe? Is this like some people who couldn't make the big time rock bands and now y'all ended up at the church? You cannot mix it.
Amen.
You cannot mix it.
Amen.
If you want to drink beer and alcohol, you don't go to McDonald's, you go to a bar. When people come to a church, they don't want to see the world. They're tired of the world. They came to see something different. And it's the difference that convicts. It's the difference. I've visited some of the churches. And I've seen the teen room that's black. And the black lights. And the stage. And the strobe lights. and the huge speakers because it's got to be blaring. And the old folks in the auditorium complaining, all the loud music from the teen building. And then the pastor points and says, but look at the crowd. Look how many youth are here. And then tell me how many of them are going into ministry.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Tell me how many are soul winners. Tell me how they're living once they leave church. It's not just putting a bunch of worldly kids in a room and saying, look at all those kids, they're in church. Well, some of them have to be. Just a thought. Let's kind of finish this up here. So what about contemporary Christian music? Let's keep going. The biblical acid test. Here they are. Exodus 32. It's a confusing sound. It's a confusing sound. Oftentimes, you can't even understand the words. Just like in Exodus, a confusing sound. Next, this is interesting. 1 Kings 18, it's holy versus unholy worship. If you look at the story of Elijah, you remember he had a showdown, the worshipers of Baal. He said, you call down fire from heaven. They did. They jumped on top screaming. It said they got louder. They started cutting themselves, jumping up and down. Oh, Baal, chanting. It looked like a concert. They're all jumping and screaming. Then he said, all right, here's the prayer. Lord, send fire from heaven. One was holy worship. One was unholy worship.
Amen.
Number next, Acts 14, 18. What's the problem with contemporary Christian music? Accepting men's worship. King Herod gave a speech in the book of Acts. And the people said, oh, this is not the speech of a man. This is the speech of a God. And God gave him a few moments to say, no. There's just one. No, he didn't do it. He accepted that praise. God smote him. The Bible said he was eaten with worms. That was Herod. We never want to receive praise for a lesson we teach, a sermon we preach, an instrument we play, a solo we sing, a group we're in, because it's not about us, it's about Him.
Amen.
Worship is all about Him. It's ascribing worth to. He is worthy.
Amen.
Then we see another acid test. I love this. Judges 17 to 18. We're not going to have time to read it. But the story is Balaam. He is being called by Balak, the wicked king, to come and look off the mountain and curse Israel. You remember the story. God messed with his mouth, and every time he opened his mouth, blessed be Israel. He said, I paid you to curse them. And three times he hung around the heathen. He said, I'll give you more money. I'll give you honors. I'll give you more rewards. So here's the issue here. Hired worship. Hired worship. Well, such and such gospel quartet is going to be playing at the Civic Center. Tickets are on sale for $25 a piece. Hired worship. If any of you ever become famous and you start cutting all these CDs and selling millions, God bless you. Never charge for a concert. Never charge.
Amen.
Can you imagine Brother Johnson speaking at youth conference this year saying, all right. Now, before you leave, if you like the sermon, I'm passing the hat. Now, a love offering is different. You don't have to give. But none of those guys charge. And this whole contemporary Christian music type thing, it's all about its glory and making money. We have the Academy Awards in the world for the world's movies. We have all these awards. Now, in the Christian realm, the Dove Awards for the greatest woman soloist in America. I don't think God's pleased with it.
Amen, preacher.
You say, well, they're talented too. They need to be giving it all to Him, not taking it all in.
Amen.
Just a thought. Tell them I said so.
Amen.
And then quickly, 1 Corinthians 14, 7 and 8. Said, if they give not a distinct sound. Paul said, I'd rather speak 5 words that men understand than 10,000 words in some unknown language.
Amen.
Sometimes it's not a distinct sound. Does the church need to imitate the world to reach the world? Here's questions to ask about your own music that you decide to listen to. One, is it biblical? Is it based on this right here? I did it my way. How'd that turn out? Second, does it focus on God or the performer? You watch some people sing, and they're singing just like the world. You see them swaying. You see them with that breathy music. You never want to hold that microphone so close where it sounds like you're breathing down someone's throat. Hit the note and move on. Number three, is it full of vain repetition? Many of the songs in our day that have been written, nothing wrong with some choruses, but we can't just live on that. Brother Johnson calls it 7-11 music. There's seven words and you repeat it 11 times. Our hymn book sometimes has some deep meanings and you may say, man, that's deep. But rather to be a little too deep than too shallow. And our hymn book's going to talk about great is thy faithfulness. The love of God, how rich and pure. It's always a character trait about him. Number next, is it flashy or showy? And I don't have time to watch these things, but I've seen some on television. I've seen some in person where it's a performance. Okay, let's keep going here. Number five, does it resemble the world? When the men have hair that look like the rock concert performers, when the men look like women and the women look like men, when the women are immodest on the platform, there's some issues there. Number six, are the words understandable? Number seven, we've already covered this. Number eight, does it major on deliverance? Notice the song, I've had many tears and sorrows. I've had questions for tomorrow. I've had times when I didn't know right from wrong. Andre Crouch. And then the chorus is, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God through it all. That's about deliverance. Thank you for the valley I walk through today. That's about deliverance. And our songs always help us when it majors on, God got me through some things. Amen. Number nine, does it feed the spirit or does it feed the flesh? And somehow someone typed on there, K-Love. K-Love. I guess that's a radio program or something, or a radio station. All I know is this. Here's how I am. Music is so important. I'm not going to let someone tell me the 100 songs I'm listening to today. Their choice may not be as conservative as I believe this choice is. And if I choose who I'm listening to and I put those 6 CDs in and let them rotate around, I at least know if they're living what they're singing. Years ago, I was at a rest stop. I was traveling somewhere. Saw a great big old bus. It was one of the old time quartets, gospel quartets. And some of you old timers would remember the name, the Cathedrals. I mean, they had some great songs. So I remember going past the gas pump and I was speaking to one of the singers. I said, man, I've heard y'all's music for years. Well, I love that one about heaven. He said, if there is one. I was in Texas and the Oak Ridge Boys were a gospel quartet at that time. And I remember had one of their 8 tracks. They played at a high school. And they said just about the same thing to me. It was all about performance. Fame. Fortune. And I'm not saying some of those people are not real sincere, and I'm sure some of them are. And I can't judge them all, but I'm just saying how careful they've got to be. Years ago, not being critical, I'm just quoting years ago. There was this beautiful girl that sang, and she started rising to stardom. Her name was Amy Grant. She ended up being the Orange Bowl queen in the parade. They picked her. Then she started whining, and there was an article that said, "They just don't recognize all the talent that I have." Guess it wasn't all about him, huh? That's why I love our church CD. I know the people that's on it. When I hear it, I say, man, that person teaches Sunday school. That person's in the nursery. That person sits right here. And to me, it's like, boy, I can hear this. Amen. It minister, their lives minister, and then the music ministers as well.
Amen.
Just a thought.
Amen.
And then quickly, two more thoughts. Is the music in the middle? Years ago, only old timers would know this person. There was a guy named B.J. Thomas. You remember him? What a difference you've made in my life. What a difference you've made in my life. You are my sunshine day and night. Oh, what a difference you've made. He got saved. And he wanted to start singing gospel music. But in the book of Hebrews, Moses said, I've chosen rather to suffer reproach for the cause of Christ than to enjoy the riches of wickedness. See, some performers who are saved, they've not made that choice. They don't want to be all the way in the world, but they don't want the reproach of being identified as a Christian. So there's this middle of the road music where when you hear it, someone says, oh, what a sweet gospel song that is. They didn't mention Jesus one time. What a difference you've made in my life. Is that your friend? Is that a girlfriend? Is that your mother, your dad? Is that God? They never go there. Have I ever told you you're my hero? You're the wind beneath my wing. Okay, so who is that? Is that God? Is that your friend? See, it never goes either way. You see what I'm saying? So a lot of, oh, we just love them. It'd be good if they came out of the closet and said, let the whole world know I'm a Christian. I'm not ashamed. But some of them never do.